The bad news scenario. Oh, I forgot to ask. How do you say that? Scenario? Scenario.
Scenario.
Scenario. Thank you. The bad news scenario. Imagine, what if the doctors say, let's get that lump tested, and a while later says, you've got cancer? What if the most recent phone call you've had is someone telling you you've lost your job? Or that a close friend has died? Or your spouse wants to end the relationship? Or a neighbor saying that your house is on fire? Bad news comes occasionally, hopefully not all of those at once. But how do you react? What is your default, your go-to reaction? Do you fight or flight or freeze? Do you fight it and get angry? Do you get riled up to argue, either with the human that you're hearing it from or from God who allowed this to happen? Do you flight? Do you fly away? Do you run away and bury your head in the sand, carrying on as normal and pretend it will all just go away? Or do you freeze? Life suddenly stops still and you're unable to process this or do anything else. The news just stuns you. Choose a bad scenario and discuss with the folk around you just for a quick minute. How would you respond to losing your house or a friend or a job or your health? Ready? Go. Okay. I bet every one of us had a different answer. Everybody reacts in different ways to different things, and it really depends on how serious the issue is as to how we respond, but also what happened before that minute. But we're going to look at a passage. We're going to hear about Peter and John, who had received some bad news, and see how they dealt with it. Reading in the paper Bible will make it easier to understand, as the quoted verses from Psalm 2 are indented. And I'm going to invite Patsy to come up and read. It's on page 1096.
So it's Acts chapter 4, and starting at verse 23. So as Ginny said, page 1096. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and the Lord's anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So in our passage, Peter and John had gone back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So we need to go back to verse 18 and look at what actually was said to them. They had been commanded not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Would that be bad news to you? Don't speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Never again speak about the person who saved your life. Never tell anyone about the hope that changed everything for you. Would that be bad news to you? For Peter and John, who were all about Jesus and speaking his word, this should have been devastating to be told that. Not share about the Lord their Savior, not teach about this Jesus who had turned their lives upside down when he asked them to follow him, and sharing that news with Jesus' other disciples should also have been heartbreaking for them. But their response was quite unexpected, really. Could their response help us in our times of need? There's cheat sheets on the table if you'd like them, with pens if it's helpful, but you don't have to. Their very first reaction was prayer. And not just any casual, God, please help us here prayer, but a full-on four-part prayer. Part one, they acknowledged God's sovereignty. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. The sovereignty of God is one of my favorite topics. I even wrote a song called God is Sovereign Still, available on YouTube. God's sovereignty puts all bad news into perspective. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere all at once. And he not only has the big picture, but he is the big picture. The fact that God is sovereign means that he has the power, the wisdom, and the authority to do anything he chooses with his creation. Whether or not he actually exerts that level of control in any given circumstance is a different question for another time. But what a way to start a prayer after hearing bad news. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Maybe try it this week. Start your prayers with Sovereign Lord. The second thing they did was they quoted a relevant scripture. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The believers used Psalm 2 not simply as a comforting verse, but as a theological framework. It reminded them that opposition to God's kingdom is normal, that Jesus is God's appointed king, and that human rebellion cannot stop God's purposes. This scripture helped them make sense of their circumstances. So the more scripture we have in our response bag up here, the more we can draw on it in times of trouble and have it be a helpful medicine to our hearts and to our minds. Thirdly, they reminded themselves of God's faithfulness and his powerful will. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Are they reminding God of something he had done in the past? No, God knows what he did. They're reminding themselves that God was in control even when wicked people appeared to be winning. It is human rebellion versus divine sovereignty. There was conspiracy back then. There is conspiracy now for them not to be speaking about Jesus. God's power and will were in play in Psalm 2, in Acts 4, and they're still in play now. Have you ever built a pile of stones to remember a place or a time when you've seen God's faithfulness? Or a more modern take, have you ever taken a photo of a situation or written a song or a poem that reminds you of something that God has done in the past? In the bad news times, remember his faithfulness in the past. What would be your go-to memory of God's faithfulness? Maybe the greatest example is the cross itself. Human beings intended evil, but God used it for salvation. So try and tie up the situation you're in with a relevant memory of what God has done in the past. just like these believers did. Then they asked God to do miraculous things. Number four. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They didn't pray to be spared from persecution or for the Sanhedrin to change their minds. They didn't pray for a smooth road or protection from harm and danger, although sometimes these are great prayers. But these men and women prayed, enable us, your servants, to speak your words with great boldness. Stretch, perform. Please do it. So this week we're going to try and pray like those early believers. Sovereign Lord, then what could be your go-to verse? If you want to spend some time, a little bit now and a lot later, to say, if your house burns down, what would be the verse that you would use, that you would want to remind yourself of God's faithfulness before and how he would sustain you now? Or a close friend dies. Or you lose your job. If we have these verses in our back pocket, in the front of our minds, and in our hearts, God could use those for his glory. When everything is going southwards, or not as we had planned, when we don't understand the bigger picture because God is just so, so big, may we choose to speak to God and speak of him boldly. I pray we have opportunities to share about Jesus this week and to speak boldly of him. A little known fact, I'm going on a short-term mission trip this week. God has given me the opportunity to be with strangers, some who may know Jesus as their Savior and personal friend, and some who may never even have had the privilege of hearing the name of Jesus. But I'm pretty sure God is already working in a Wimbledon hospital, and that when I get there on Thursday lunchtime and go under the knife in the afternoon, he will be with me. And when I awake and recover, I pray I remember verses that will encourage me in the days of pain that follow, and those that encourage me to be patient in the healing and trust his perfect timing. And I pray he will give me opportunities to speak his word boldly to those around me. The whole thing is a bit scary, but God. He goes before me, behind me. He lays his hand upon me. He hems me in. It's from Psalm 139. And from one of our recent memory verses, Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. When bad news comes, the believers in Acts 4 didn't panic. They didn't cry and scream and yell. They prayed. They remembered who God is, what he has said, what he has done, and what he can still do. And then when they went out, they spoke boldly. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. As we head into this week, we remind ourselves that you are behind us and before us, that you've laid your hand upon us, that you hem us in. You've been faithful in the past, and we ask you to please continue. And may we remember. Help us to look around and see where you are working this week. And help us to speak boldly of you at every opportunity. You shook the believers' building that night. Please shake our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.